Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to, cut through some of the noise around Vermont education.
Yeah, it's a busy landscape, always changing. Keeping up can feel like a full-time job sometimes.
Exactly. But that's why we're here. We've been digging into the latest issue of 802 Ed.
Right, it's such a great resource. Really gets into the nitty-gritty of what's happening in Vermont schools.
It really does. Covers everything from legislative stuff to what's happening right there in the schools.
And we're going to unpack some of that today. Things like, the DEI discussions, student voices, or the lack thereof sometimes.
And that whole thing with the electric buses just sitting there, we'll get into that too.
Yeah.
Basically, we're pulling out the key insights for you, giving you a solid understanding without you having to read every single article.
Let's dive in. So, where do we start? Maybe with some of the local leadership issues.
Good idea. That 7 days VT report about the school board meeting, that was something.
A teacher trying to speak, getting interrupted repeatedly.
And then other teachers just walked out. Wow.
Yeah, it really points to some potential tension, doesn't it, between educators and maybe the administration or the board?
It makes you wonder about communication. Is this just one incident or is it indicative of something, well, bigger?
It definitely raises questions like, do teachers feel heard? Do they feel respected when they bring up concerns?
Because if they don't, that's got to affect morale, the whole school climate.
Absolutely, which down the line impacts the kids, the learning environment.
And speaking of voices being heard or not heard, that VT Digger piece.
Ah, yes. The one about the education reform discussions.
And the students feeling left out. That quote, "I was shocked by the absence of student input." That just jumps out.
It really does. I mean, if reforms are meant to help students,
Shouldn't they be part of the conversation?
exactly. Their perspective is, well, invaluable. They're living it every day. Policymakers might miss crucial things without that input.
Leads you to question if the reforms will actually work as intended, if they're not grounded in student experience.
That's a critical point.
Okay, switching gears completely here. The WCAX story about the electric buses.
Oh, right. The district bought them.
And then decided, nope, not using them.
Any reason given in the report?
Not specifically, no. Which leaves you speculating, doesn't it?
Yeah, what was it, charging? Infrastructure issues, maybe they weren't right for like Vermont roads or weather or costs popped up.
Could be any number of things, but it definitely shows that, adopting new tech, even green tech, isn't always straightforward for schools.
Good intentions meet practical hurdles. It highlights the need for really thorough planning before big investments like that.
Definitely. Okay, back to the State House for a minute. VT Digger, again, reporting on the bell-to-bell ban bill for cell phones.
Right, and the number of co-sponsors. Quite a few, wasn't it?
Over four dozen. Significant bipartisan support there.
Which suggests it's tapping into a pretty widespread concern, I think, about distractions in the classroom.
The idea is probably, more focus, more actual face-to-face interaction, less scrolling during lessons.
Makes sense. But then you have the other side too, right? Balancing focus with, well, student autonomy and how kids use tech today.
It's a tricky balance, for sure. Now, another topic that always gets people talking, DEI.
The Citizen had an article about a district dealing with that.
Navigating it in a politically sensitive environment, as they put it. And that quote, "It's every kid, and that's what I think people don't understand about DEI."
That really cuts to the core, doesn't it? Diversity, equity, inclusion. It's about making sure the school environment works for all students.
So every single kid feels like they belong, they're supported, they can succeed.
And the fact this district is pushing forward with it, even with potential pushback, shows a real commitment to that principle.
It's good to see that local focus. Okay, leadership changes. The VPA count, 46 school leader vacancies.
46. Wow, that's a lot.
Feels like a significant amount of turnover, doesn't it?
It really does. Points to a big transition period. Maybe opportunity too, but also raises questions about, why so many openings and how do we attract and keep good leaders?
Important questions. And kind of connected to leadership and statewide stuff, the note from the editor in 802, Ed mentioned teacher contracts.
Right, negotiations are ongoing.
And the state put out an RFP, a request for
Yeah,
proposal.
for chief negotiator to represent the whole state government side.
Like, that feels like a shift moving towards a more centralized approach for bargaining.
Could be. Could really change how contracts are handled, statewide pay, benefits, working conditions. Definitely something to keep an eye on.
Okay, let's zoom out a bit. The Heads Up Vermont section looked at what other states are doing. Florida focusing on math scores.
Yeah, sort of applying the science of reading idea, but for math. a consistent research-based approach statewide.
Makes you wonder if a similar unified strategy for math could work here in Vermont.
It's an interesting thought. And then there was Virginia.
The prison education bill, with projected savings, over $300 million.
That's a huge number. And beyond the savings, you think about education reducing recidivism, the social benefits.
Right. It makes you consider the role of education in correctional facilities here. Could Vermont do something similar, save money, and have a positive impact?
Worth exploring, perhaps.
Now, lobbying. That 7 days VT piece, the powerful Vs.
Uh-huh. Talking about the influence game in Montpelier.
Yeah, the ratio about three lobbyists for every legislator. Wow.
That's a lot of voices whispering in lawmakers' ears.
And they mentioned three specific education groups, the ones with the single letter nicknames.
Right. It just underscores how many different interests are involved in shaping education policy and funding. These groups definitely play a big role.
You really have to be aware of that context. Okay, back to the note from the editor again. Besides the license renewals.
Oh, yeah, lots of those coming up. 84 superintendents and, wow, 403 principals.
Big numbers. But they also talked about teacher contracts being sent out in return, leading to this statewide musical chairs for staff.
That phrase really captures it, doesn't it? Even without seeing the chart they mentioned.
Totally. It paints a picture of a very fluid job market. Teachers moving around looking for new spots.
Suggests a lot of movement, maybe for better opportunities, different locations. Mm. Or maybe some are leaving positions they weren't happy with. A dynamic situation for sure.
Definitely. Okay, let's touch on some of the opinions shared in Buzz on the Street, Jack Hoffman's piece.
Cautioning against big sweeping reforms without thinking through all the consequences.
Yeah, the unintended consequences angle, a reminder to be maybe a bit more measured.
Exactly. Change isn't always bad, but you need to look before you leap, essentially.
Then Jamie Dansereau arguing for after-school programs.
Making the case that they're not just nice to have, but essential support systems for kids. Academics, social-emotional stuff, safe spaces.
Good point. Recognizing them as essential could mean more funding, more access.
Potentially, yeah.
Then there was that back and forth about the superintendent's communication style.
Right. Nikki St. Mary had one take. A central office person had another view on the same meeting.
Just shows how subjective communication can be, right? What one person sees as toxic positivity, another might see differently.
Absolutely. Highlights the need for really clear, transparent communication from leadership.
And Lieutenant Governor John Rogers pushing career and technical education.
Right. CTE.
Still a big focus, equipping kids with practical skills, pathways besides just a four-year degree.
Preparing them for the workforce in different ways. Makes sense.
Uh-huh. And finally, Jason Vendriche, a critical view on the state's top education leader.
Yeah, we don't need to get into the weeds, but it just shows there are, well, varying opinions out there on leadership.
Which is normal, right? Different perspectives and critiques are part of how policy gets shaped.
True. Okay, the reader survey results from last time.
The one about federal changes.
Yeah, and the overwhelming response was basically, Vermont should push back more.
That's a strong sentiment. Shows real concern within the ed community here about those federal shifts. And the new survey question for this issue. Who gets the most out of spring break? Students, staff, or nobody really?
That'll be interesting to see the results on that one next time. Perspectives might vary quite a bit there.
I bet. Okay, quickly on opportunities. The grants and opportunities section mentioned that Great Schools Partnership Conference.
In Killington, yeah.
Yeah.
Focused on diversifying the educator workforce.
Which is super important, right? Having teachers who reflect the student body.
Definitely. It's a key goal for improving education for everyone.
And applications for the State Youth Council were open.
Great way for young people to actually have a voice in state policy. Get involved.
Absolutely essential to provide those avenues. And finally, job listings.
Yeah, describing a fierce market for school staff.
Tells you something about demand, doesn't it? Pointing people to the VPA list for leader jobs and Josh Shupriek's spreadsheet for remote K-12 work.
Good resources if you're looking. Shows there are challenges with staffing, but also lots of opportunities out there.
Right. And just for fun, the little bonus fact.
The piranhas.
Taxidermied piranhas in the Randolph Public Library. Gotta love those quirky Vermont details.
You really do. Adds character. But more seriously, the reminder about the school safety tip line.
Crucial information. 1-844-SAFE-4-VET or text SAFE-4-ET to 274-637 or the website safe4vt.org.
And Rob Evans for safety training questions. Huh? Keeping schools safe has to be priority number one.
Absolutely. So wrapping up this deep dive into the latest from AO2ED, what are the big takeaways?
Well, it's clear Vermont education is in a really dynamic phase. Lots of leadership changes, ongoing debates about reform, DEI.
And this constant effort to make schools supportive places for, well, everyone involved, students, teachers, staff.
Yeah, and staying plugged into these conversations, understanding the different pieces, it's just so important if you care about Vermont schools.
Couldn't agree more. Resources like 802ED are vital for that.
Definitely.
So here's something to think about as we finish up. Considering everything we've touched on, the leadership vacancies, student input, CTE, DEI, what single area in Vermont education do you think needs the most urgent attention right now, and why?
Good question to ponder. And we definitely encourage you to check out the original articles for more depth, and just keep following these important local discussions.